This is DiPietro, Canty, and Rothenberg.
And we bring him in. Greg Wyshynski covers the NHL for us so well at ESPN.com. Greg, we welcome you aboard. How are you?
Doing well. Busy times. The NHL, this is the second time the NHL has done this, where they dropped a huge document on Memorial Day for us to write about and then decided to announce everything in the world over July 4th weekend. So absolutely no respect.
They want to keep you busy. So let's start out there. What's the latest for everyone to hear of where we are with the return? The start of, I guess, training camp, the start of the season, the locations. Give us the latest on hockey.
Well, here we go. So what's happened is right now the National Hockey League Players Association is in the next few days, hopefully, going to be voting on both the return to play documents that were leaked yesterday. We wrote about them on ESPN this morning. And then also on a new collective bargaining agreement, which is a real key to this entire thing happening. Now, to break it down as far as what's going to happen if everything's approved, phase three for the NHL's training camp that should begin around July 13th, around about that time, that'll go on for a few weeks. Teams will then transition to two hub cities for phase four, and those cities are going to be Toronto for the Eastern Conference and Edmonton for the Western Conference. As you guys know, Las Vegas was the leading site for the Western Conference for a very long time. The COVID-19 numbers there spiked. Edmonton's been in really good shape for months. And so Western Conference players have to wrap their brains around going to Edmonton instead of Vegas for 3 months. But what can you do? And we go full speed ahead. I mean, testing protocols, the whole thing. The NHL is ramping back up to finish the season this summer.
Greg, let me ask you a question. So reading through some of these protocols and everything else, first I'll actually ask you this. From the people that you talk to, is it a foregone conclusion that the CBA extension and the different phases are going to be ratified by both sides?
The return to play stuff is pretty much done. They just need the formality of the player vote. I think the fact that the NHL and the PA have come up with a way for players to opt out if they don't feel like they want to do this and there's no penalties to them or anything else, then that's a good thing. And the expectation is that there will be some players for their own health, for the consideration of the health of their families or family members, may not decide to do this summer. So that remains to be seen. The CBA stuff, as you know, is always a bit more dicey. Mm-hmm. But it does sound like that they've done some good work on some of the things that the players were most interested in seeing get fixed, i.e. going back to the Olympics for at least the next two winter games, and then also figuring out a solution for escrow, which is the percentage that's withheld from a player's contract during the season, to ensure a 50-50 revenue split with the owners. It's a complicated thing, but bottom line is that even though it's not been abolished, which is what a lot of players wanted, they've put it down and capped it at certain numbers for the next 6 years. And this CBA, by the way, will be at least 6 years, maybe seven, depending on some other conditions. So it looks favorable as far as the players. You got to keep this in mind, though. The COVID shutdown just rattled everything that they were working on for the CBA. I mean, the players are going to end up owing the owners a lot of dough based on how much revenue they've lost this season. We'll probably lose next season. So, this CBA is not only, I think, a document for the next couple of years beyond, this pandemic, but also it's coming up with remedies to try to solve problems that they didn't even think were going to be problems back in January.
Greg, I'm reading through some of the details about the bubble that the NHL is going to create in the two cities, and it says a part of every 52-member traveling party, there will be a representative to serve as the club's compliance officer to make sure that they're in line with all the protocols that the NHL is putting in place. And I guess my question is, who's responsible for assigning the compliance officer? Because I could see a situation where it could be a conflict of interest if it's assigned by the team in terms of protecting the integrity of the bubble.
Your thought's probably my first thought, which is they'll just have an intern do it, right? But no, it ain't going to be like that. So it's going to be somebody who has in somewhere in their work history some experience with compliance, with checking boxes, with filling out these forms, with being the point person for a project like this, but obviously not exactly like this. The NHL is going to be the one that signs off on the identity of this person. Teams will sort of nominate them. The NHL will be like, okay, that's your person. and then we move forward. But your point's taken, man, and it speaks to a larger point that I think is one of the more head-scratching things about this bubble experiment, which is, can we trust these guys to be on the up and up when a positive test means someone will leave your lineup for 2 weeks? I mean, that's the bottom line. I mean, if they're asymptomatic, they can come back quicker. It's all spelled out in the document, you know, a 72-hour turnaround kind of thing if there's negative tests and what have you. So if you're asymptomatic, you can come back quicker. But if you've got symptoms, you test positive, not only are you done for like 2 weeks, but you aren't training during that period, and you have to come back only when it's signed off by a cardiologist and a team physician. So do we trust them to be on the up and up with the diagnosis? Do we trust them to be on the up and up with the numbers and the testing? You hope so. And I think the NHL is going to be very diligent in making sure that it happens. But this is also a sport where guys kind of come back and play with concussions and things like that. So it's not as if these teams in this league have necessarily earned our trust when it comes to their candor on medical conditions.
On the NHL, Greg Wyshynski joining us here, 98.7 ESPN. So, listen, baseball, Greg, has gotten off to seemingly a horrendous first 5 days of this summer training camp. And all of a sudden, some guys, Mike Trout has said he's not sure what he's going to do. David Price has said I'm out. Felix Hernandez, Joe Ross, you know, Ryan Zimmerman are not going to play. And I have a feeling there's going to be more in the future for baseball. Do you have that feel at all for hockey, that there will be guys that say, you know what, I'm just not going to come back? Or do you think for the most part they believe in the plan and they will come back to hockey?
No, I think there's some guys that'll opt out. I mean, you know, there's some guys that are older, that have underlying conditions and things of that nature, that might just not feel comfortable about doing this. I mean, one of the biggest issues for these guys, speaking to the players over the last couple of months, has been the time away from their families and being stuck in this bubble. I mean, you're in a hotel room by yourself. You're taking field trips with your boys to go golfing maybe once a week. But it's a lot of isolation. And it's a lot of isolation after, you know, a good four-month chunk where you're seeing your families every single day. Now, in some cases, guys might celebrate the idea of running away for a few months after being in that situation. But in most cases, these guys miss their families, miss their wives, miss their partners, and they're not going to see anybody in person until at least the conference finals. The conference finals and the Stanley Cup final are when the NHL says that spouses and partners and children and close family members can enter these bubbles and reconnect with the players, but they even have to then go through a quarantine process themselves. So it's not just simply like concerns for their health or concerns from health of older relatives or things like that. It's simply, do I want to put myself through this and put my family through this and you know, for what? To play in front of an empty building for 2 months.
Greg Wyshynski scored. Greg Wyshynski joins us here on the show. I know, right? It's bad karma. Greg, what went into making the decision to have Edmonton host the conference finals and the Stanley Cup finals instead of Toronto?
Good question. I think it might have to do with the COVID-19 numbers in Edmonton and just how Alberta as a whole has really had the pandemic on lock for months, and the numbers have been very favorable. You know, that was always what's been communicated to me from the NHL in trying to determine the hub cities. The only thing that they care about is the safety and security of the bubble they're creating. And so I think they feel that even though Toronto, you know, I think is the bigger media market, and then obviously they pulled off the World Cup of Hockey 4 years ago there, so they know they can obviously stage a pretty large event. They just feel that Edmonton in a new building with the numbers being what they are in the surrounding area, they're going to be able to secure this thing a little bit more easily than maybe in Toronto.
Greg, you mentioned earlier that guys around the league with underlying health conditions could potentially opt out of the restart. But what about how is the NHL going to handle guys that want to participate that do have underlying health conditions? I'm thinking about one New York Ranger in particular. But how is the NHL going to handle that with these guys being a part of the restart?
Yeah, and Max Domi, another player up in Montreal, has diabetes, I think it is, and you know, there's a lot of guys that might have something that we're not even privy to that could put them at risk for playing in this environment. What the NHL has said in this document that they've crafted together that was released to teams and players is that they're going to actually have some discretion where they might be able to tell guys you can't play, and that's going to be some controversy, and there might be some pushback from the union. But in particular, you know, obviously, like, they're thinking more along the lines of some severe illnesses they may be suffering when it comes to restarting and things like that. But I think they're also kind of conscious of it. But more to the point, they're going to leave this up to the players. I mean, they're not going to try to force anybody to do anything they don't want to do. But they're hoping, I think, that if players feel like they're at risk or that they could be in a bad situation, that they're going to be able to step up and say, I'll take a pass until next year. But again, I think that's also asking a lot of athletes that aren't necessarily always forthcoming with their medical conditions and just want to get back on the ice and win a championship.
Certainly feels like there's a lot of hurdles to jump over. Greg Wyshynski with us here, 98.7 ESPN from ESPN.com, covers hockey. Let me ask you about you. I mean, are there going to be media members allowed into either Edmonton or Toronto? And if so, are you willing to do that? Is that something you'd want to do?
Yeah, I mean, I definitely want to. I think this is a story that, you know, we'll be telling our grandkids about, the fact that this all happened and getting in there and seeing how it all plays out. You know, so the media, everybody that's around these bubbles is going to be tested every single day, whether it's hotel workers or food vendors or what have you, tests for COVID every day, temperature checks, symptom checks every day. The media will just get temperature and symptom checks. We don't have to get tested every day for COVID because we're not really interacting with the players. From what I gather, it's going to be a virtual playoff for the media. I mean, you're going to have media that aren't going to be able to afford to go there for as long as the tournament goes for, or maybe they just choose not to want to go there for any number of reasons. It's going to be a lot of Zoom calls, video press conferences, things like that, interaction with the players after games that don't require us to be in the same room. Now, from what I gather, if you're in these arenas, you're going to be able to watch in the press box. You're going to have some access and some perks that people away from the hubs won't have. There'll be some value in being there. But for me personally, like, there's two things. One, I want to know what's going on in the community. I want to know what it's like for Edmonton and Toronto to have, you know, hockey players in this bubble trying not to interact with the public, while the public obviously only wants to interact with them while they're there. It's like having, you know, 2.5 months of an all-star game there, right? And the other thing I'm really curious about is how the NHL handles positive test numbers. There's been a huge controversy in recent weeks about naming guys that tested positive and whether it's just, you know, gossip or whether there's a journalistic purpose for it. I think that conversation really changes when you're inside of this safe zone, guys test positive, and now they're missing for 2 weeks from their team, you know, in a 5-game series or what have you. And the NHL is trying to prove to the public and prove to everybody that they've secured these guys and kept them safe. If they're kind of being funny with the numbers or concealing positive tests under the auspices of medical privacy, I think you get into a really weird gray area of how much should we know about how secure this bubble is versus how much they're working to try to keep the players protected from having positive tests leaked to the press.
Yeah, that'll be interesting to find out. I would imagine that all the players would know, right? Because the PA would know. They'd have to let all the players know.
Oh yeah,
with contract tracing.
Everyone's gonna know. I mean, that's part of, you know, like, to pull back the layers of the onion here. I mean, everyone's gonna know when these guys all of a sudden go missing for 2 weeks, right? Like, you're better off. Don't hit us with the upper body injury if the guy tests positive, because we're gonna all know anyway, right? And it's all gonna come out anyway. And you can get away with not having to identify these guys now. I do think that there is an issue of medical privacy now, because if they test positive, there's absolutely no impact on their team, travel, what have you right now. But once you get inside that bubble and guys test positive, I mean, like, you know, your top line center misses an entire series because he tested positive for COVID in a place where he shouldn't be testing positive for COVID. Mm-hmm. I mean, that's got to be something you're forthcoming with. But in the document, the NHL has said that absent their approval, the PA, the teams, whoever, aren't going to be tasked with revealing the names of people that get that test positive. And we'll see how that plays out. I don't think that's a real tenable solution, but we'll see how it plays out.
All right, Greg, last one from me. I'm not sure if you can answer this or not. I've heard some speculation. It sounds like, you know, fingers crossed we get through this, we award the Stanley Cup, that free agency will start beginning of November. And then from that point on, when do you expect next season to potentially start?
Yeah, November 1st is sort of the target date that we've heard as far as when free agency might start. The NHL has been pretty adamant that they think you can get in all of the business of the off season in hockey done in a month. That might be a little bit adventurous. Mm-hmm. You might need about a month and a half, but that's kind of what they're looking at right now. Because the restart of the following season, of the 2020-2021 season, back in NHL team arenas, potentially with fans back in the building, it's either going to be late December, or Gary Bettman, the commissioner, has floated the idea of restarting the season on January 1st with the Winter Classic, which would be a heck of a kickoff with the Winter Classic in Minnesota. The one thing to keep in mind, though, and this is the crazy part, they are looking to play 82 games next year, and they're going to, if they start in January, that's a heck of a time crunch and probably another summertime Stanley Cup final sometime in July if you kind of space out the calendar. So their big thing is playing 82 next season, but they think, you know, free agency around November 1st and then restart of next season late December, early January, and we'll see how they what kind of schedule they come out to fit all those games in.
Greg, how will the financial impact of COVID-19 determine how teams around the league manage their rosters, and in particular a team like the New York Rangers in dealing with Henrik Lundqvist and that contract, which they're on the hook for another season after this one?
Yeah, there's a couple ways to answer that. I mean, first off, all these teams are obviously taking a massive financial hit with the season getting paused, with the restart of the season happening in buildings with no fans. You don't get really any kind of tangible playoff revenue from concessions and parking and all that stuff. So the bottom lines for a lot of these teams are going to be severely impacted. But the ratification of the CBA, if and when it happens, from the NHL Players Association in the next week and a half, it kicks into effect next season. And so what you have is an $81.5 million salary cap next season, potentially the season after that. So you don't have the growth of the salary cap that we've had in previous seasons. So that, to me, is going to be the biggest impact, is not only money on hand, not only, you know, tightening your belt a little bit on some stuff, but you're going to have a situation where the salary cap ceiling isn't going to grow. If you've been planning out financially, like a team, let's say like Toronto has done, to sign guys and fit guys under an ever-escalating cap, it's going to be flat next year. It could be flat two straight seasons, and that's going to severely impact what teams decide to do, not only with guys that have contracts coming up, but also for big name free agents, like, for example, Taylor Hall this summer, or this November, I guess it is, that are looking to break the bank and might find themselves not having a lot of teams at their beck and call to give them those huge contracts.
All right, Greg, listen, we appreciate it. Hopefully we get some more good news from hockey and this thing starts up sooner rather than later, and we'll talk to you along the way.
Looking good. Thanks, boys.
All right, good stuff. That is Greg Wyshynski. Rick, I got to tell you, of all the major sports, and it's not even close for me right now, have the most confidence in the NHL.
Yeah, I would say NHL, and then a close second would be the NBA. I mean, with how things have, I mean, kind of played themselves out. It seems like they have a good working relationship right now with the union in the NHL to try to extend the CBA. And then as far as the protocols are concerned, once they get into these hub cities, with the amount of testing, yeah, I mean, this is, if one of these leagues is going to have success, it feels like the NHL will be the one.
Yeah, I think so. Chris, you feel like that as well, that the NHL is trending in the right direction?
Yeah, I have the most confidence in hockey's plan, mm-hmm. and it's just listening to the medical experts say that, yeah, out of all the major team sports, that hockey probably stands the best chance to being able to start and finish their season. I just feel like with everything that they've put in place and the league and the PA being so collaborative, I just feel like they're making sure that they've got all the details of this restart covered. And to me, that just, when you're as transparent as they have been and they've taken as much time as they have in trying to go through this process, I just feel more confident in them being able to execute their plan.
And I would imagine, you know, the players and the ones that I've talked to, they feel, I mean, as comfortable as you could feel under these circumstances.
Right.
That once they get into, you know, these situations, it's not going to be easy. I mean, the self-isolation and everything else, not being around your families. But, I mean, it's when you look at the finances of what missing the season would mean, you got to try.
Yeah, it's devastating.
It's devastating.
Yep.
But I think both sides recognize that, though, Rick, which is why they realize they've got to work together. You know what I'm saying? Like, it's just like there is no posturing between the two sides. It's like, okay, this is what we're going to do. This is how we're going to handle negotiating all the health and safety protocols. And, oh, by the way, we're going to work out the CBA just so we have some certainty in terms of the economics of the sport moving forward.
Yeah, everything that they needed to do to give themselves the best opportunity to have success, it feels like they've done up to this point.
Yes.
It does.
Yes.
They've done a really good job. All right, we want to remind you, you can listen to us anywhere. Click Listen Live at ESPNNewYork.com. Find 98.7 ESPN on the ESPN app or the TuneIn app, or simply tell your smart speaker, play 98.7 ESPN and 98.7 ESPN New York. We go where you go. We'll do CMT in a moment. Rick, I'm going to give you many guesses to where Jeff McNeil is playing during the Mets sim game right now.
Many guesses.
I'll give you three.
Three guesses.
Yeah.
Mets sim game. It's going to be a weird position. He's already played in the outfield. Second base would be a no-brainer. Third base would be a no-brainer. Jeff McNeil is playing first base currently.
Nope.
He's playing center field.
Nope.
I have no idea.
He's lined up at shortstop at the moment.
No, he's not. Come on.
I'm not kidding.
Are you serious?
Yeah, this comes from Tim Healy's Twitter. Jeff McNeil at shortstop. And Dom Smith?
Left field.
Nope.
Right field.
Nope.
Center field.
Yep.
Stop.
Dom Smith locked away where nothing bad can happen in center field.
Oh, wow.
Why would you do just like what? Why not put Luke Voit in center field? Like what are you doing?
Let's tighten it up. Let's just forget that whole. You know, up the middle has to be strong defensively. Forget just throw that out the window.
McNeil, right? Ramos, McNeil, Smith. It gets no better than that.
Outside of the box thinking, Dave. Outside of the box thinking.
We'll put Lowry in his. Baby. Put Jed Lowry in his Forrest Gump brace at second.
Well, you might just put the brace at second base. Just have the brace play second base.
Dave. Yeah. Position versatility. Oh,
that's right. I mean, honestly, I think the brace could be better in center field than Dom Smith. I think that's fair to say.
I mean, what are we doing? Is he joking?
I guess he could be. I don't know why he would joke about that. I mean, he's a beat reporter for the Mets.
Yeah, but Dom Smith couldn't play left field right. You're going to put him in center field?
Listen, I'm just reading the tweet.
Oh,
I don't know. I don't know. I just
giving a player reps at a position doesn't mean he's going to be able to play that position.
But why would you even do that? It's like saying, all right, Chris Canty, line up
a wide
receiver.
We're going to give you quarterback reps. Yeah, right, give you quarterback reps during training camp.
Why? You're never going
to
play that position.
Yeah. Exactly.
So I don't understand the point. All right, regardless of that, I do know that CMT is coming up. Rick, is there something big, like a big Monday blast off to start the week for CMT?
I may just call it quits for the day after that.
Stop it.
I mean, what are we doing?
Oh,
why?
My God. I shouldn't tell you. I can't tell you these things.
I can understand. Listen, I can understand McNeil at shortstop. God forbid. I mean, with everything going on, he needs to play shortstop.
Jeff McNeil can't play shortstop.
He can play shortstop a whole hell of a lot better than I think Dom Smith can play center field. You got guys that play the outfield that can't play a good center field.
Yeah, center field's tough.
Dom Smith. Almighty.
On the heels of an outstanding CMT on Friday. Thursday, I guess it was. 3 days off, and now we're back at it. Rick, the floor is yours.
All right, here we go, boys. After the long weekend, Monday edition of Cuddle, Marry, Trash.
Nice.
I like to keep it topical. You know this. So on Thursday, we did what I thought was very, very topical CMT. So I wanted to follow it up with something strong.
What was Thursday? It was fast food?
It was fast food.
Yeah, it was good.
Yeah, a lot of controversy, which is good for CMT. So what I'm doing today is in honor of SpongeBob Golf Pants, Bryson DeChambeau, who clearly
don't make it a golf one again, please.
No.
Okay.
Clearly hasn't skipped head day. Guy's a freak. I'm not sure if you watched any of this. You probably didn't. Average off the tee was 350 yards.
Yeah, I saw the highlights, so I did see a little bit.
18th hole. He's like, you know what? I'm going to pull up the driver. Yeah, 367. No big deal. So I'm doing freakish athletes.
Oh, nice.
All
I like
sports,
that.
Freakish athletes.
Will Andre the Giant be here?
Andre the Giant will not be in this. I don't have enough time.
Okay.
I got a whole list. I'm going to try to get through as many as humanly possible.
Freakish athlete. Right. Manute Bol, will he be here?
He will not. He will not. He's just a freak. I wouldn't say athlete. Freak. Okay. I'm going to start with Chris's favorite team because they got some freaks. The New York Yankees. I'm going to give you Aaron Judge, specimen, freak. Giancarlo Stanton, physical specimen, freak. Aroldis Chapman. Judge, Stanton, Chapman.
Okay, since we're starting with my team, I feel like I should do the honors of leading us off. And so I am going to start and this might surprise you a little bit, but I'm going to roll with marrying the Cuban Missile Crisis.
If it was socially acceptable, I would marry them.
Aroldis Chapman. Like, wow. Just watching somebody throw a baseball 105 miles an hour, I mean, that's just, I mean, I don't have words to describe it, Dave. It's unbelievable. It's
and plus, he's got the fancy new Jeep, which you guys can roll around in this, the six-wheel Jeep.
Yeah,
I saw the Kevlar covered Jeep. Yeah.
Very safe.
Yeah. I mean, you can't hit his fastball unless you're the Houston Astros and you've got a buzzer system going on. So, yeah, I'm going to marry Chapman. I am going to cuddle Aaron Judge.
Bombs and hellacious seeds.
I mean, the guy is, what, 6'7", 280 pounds? I mean, he should be a defensive end. I mean, he's playing right field. And, you know, in terms of him being a freak athlete and actually using his physical gifts to make him a better player, I mean, there's nobody that does it better in baseball than Aaron Judge. And then I'll I don't want to do this, but I'm going to trash Stanton. I just think of the three guys that are on this list, he's clearly the one that most Yankees fans would be able to do without. So I would trash Stanton.
All right. I like your list. I had my trio, and then you almost swayed me to marry Chapman. I'm not going to, but you made very, very salient points, Chris. But I'm still going to marry Judge.
If it was socially acceptable, I wouldn't marry him.
He's just enormous. And you know what? The truth is, there's nothing he doesn't do well. So I will marry Judge. I will cuddle Chapman.
Bombs and hellacious seeds.
He's just, you talk about that left arm. It's unbelievable. And his stuff is filthy and terrifying. And, you know, part of this for me is that I have to look at the production of the player. And I'm sorry, Stanton just isn't at the level of those other two. So I will trash Giancarlo Stanton.
Wow. Aggressive. All right, here we go. I am going to give you now.
Where would you have gone there?
I would have probably, freakish athlete, I probably would have married Judge, cuddled Chapman. Probably safer to just cuddle Chapman, and then I would have trashed Stanton.
All right, so you agree with me.
You're a bad guy. You're a bad guy.
All right, I'm going to give you an NFL.
Thought we moved on.
I'm going to give you, ready for this? Old school NFL. Old school multi-sport. Multi-sport. Bo Jackson.
Yeah, you're going Deion, yep.
Deion. Herschel Walker. Now, that's a list of freaks right there, boys.
Yeah, it is. All right. I mean, I think maybe the most freakish athlete, you might have someone that comes into play that I'm not thinking of, but I think the most freakish athlete I've ever seen is Bo Jackson.
Yes.
So that's easy for me. I will marry Bo.
If it was socially acceptable, I would marry them.
Deion was unbelievable and was really a terrific player in two separate sports. I'll cuddle Deion.
Bombs and relationships.
Is Deion one of the, where would you rank Deion as the swaggiest athlete of all time? He's
right
going to be top of the list.
He's right up there.
Top of the list, yeah.
Remember he played for the Yankees? Remember did you watch the show on him when he played for the Yankees and he put the money symbol in the...
Yeah, and Carlton Fisk attacked him. I didn't see the show, but I remember it. I remember Carlton Fisk was livid about it. Didn't they fight right at home plate?
I think so, yeah. Oh, that's too funny.
And then I will... now, when you say multi-sport, am I considering bobsled as the second sport for...
Yeah. Yes.
See, that sport doesn't move the needle for me. So this is easy. Herschel Walker, goodbye.
Yeah, you pretend like bobsled is the hot dog eating contest.
It's not baseball, football. So it's football bobsled, which pales in comparison to Bo and Deion. Final answer, I feel comfortable with.
So what? I mean, now, would the luge, too, that's out the window?
Yeah, if you're going to give me a great baseball player / luge player, and then I could have baseball, football, yes, that would pale in comparison.
The luge. The luge. What do you think? What do you think, Chris?
Ricky, we don't have to spend a whole lot of time on this category because I agree with Dave across the board.
All right. Well done, boys.
By the way, Dinahan very upset.
Why?
He says he feels Brian Jordan was disrespected in this category.
Yeah, Brian Jordan was good, but I mean, Herschel Walker is considered one of the greatest athletes. I mean, he's a freak athlete.
Could you even tell me what he did in the bobsled?
Yeah, he pushed it.
He pushed it.
Yeah, they used him, and he's the one that's going to – he gets you started, and then he jumps in.
Hmm.
He's the back of the four-man bobsled, which is important.
I would think so. How'd they do? Did they win gold?
I don't know. I didn't
You don't even know.
No, I don't think they won gold.
You don't even know.
I know it's a sport.
I never said it wasn't a sport.
No, you spit on it. You disrespect it.
Okay, you want... So, in 3 months from right now, I say to you, what are you going to sit down and watch today? You going to watch football or baseball or bobsledding? Where does bobsled fall in order there?
Probably second. All right, here we go. Old school, not that old. I love this category, though. I'm going to give you some wide receivers. I'm going to give you Megatron, Calvin Johnson. I'm going to give you Randy Moss and T.O.
Wow.
Yeah, wow.
Oh.
That's legit.
Wow.
You start, Chris.
Yeah, I mean, first of all, you guys know T.O. is one of my former teammates. So, I mean, he's not going to get trashed on this list. So, what I'm going to do is I'm going to marry Randy Moss.
If it was socially acceptable, you're going to trash Calvin Johnson.
I'm going to marry Randy Moss.
Wow.
I mean, listen, we have a verb after the man's last name on how you dunk on defensive backs. It's called being mossed. So, I mean, you have to absolutely marry Moss when you have a freak show receiver category. I am going to cuddle Terrell Owens.
Bombs and relationship.
Guy had a broken leg, came back and was ready for the Super Bowl and balled out in that game. He wasn't the reason why they lost to the New England Patriots. I mean, I believe that, but that's also according to his own words. And then I am going to respectfully discard Calvin Johnson.
Fucking discard.
Poor Megatron.
All right. Moss is the guy. I mean, he's just a freakish athlete. Have you ever seen the 30 for 30 on him in college? I mean, he did things that we've never seen done before. So you got to marry Randy Moss. I think Chris is correct.
If it was socially acceptable, I would marry them.
And then I think the masses will hear me now and say it's Rothenberg. He just has no respect for Terrell Owens. He's going to trash him. But there's something about the longevity of Terrell Owens, and there's something about the fact that the guy returned to the Super Bowl after a broken leg and was incredible in that game. I will cuddle T.O.
Bombs and hellacious seeds.
And not for lack of thinking that Calvin Johnson's a great player, but just in this trio, I think he's third of three, and I will trash Calvin Johnson.
Guys are unbelievable. All right, next one up. Michael Vick, Lamar Jackson,
oh boy.
Cameron, I'm sick of being humble Newton.
Oh, God. All right. Okay. All right, I'm going to marry Michael Vick.
If it was socially acceptable, I would marry them.
I mean, he did things at the quarterback position we've never seen done before, and he did it for a long time.
I mean, you did have the Michael Vick experience. Remember that commercial?
That was awesome.
Awesome.
That was awesome.
So I will marry him, and I think, and I don't mean to put pressure on you, Chris, I that feels kind of like a no-brainer to me. Wow. All right. I haven't seen enough of Lamar Jackson. He's an unbelievable athlete, but he's only done it for 2 years. He is sensational. But for that reason, needing to see more, I'm going to cuddle Cam Newton.
Bombs and hellacious seeds.
And I'm going to trash Lamar.
Very interesting, Dave Rothenberg. I mean, he's only done it for 2 years, but he's got an MVP in one of those seasons.
He certainly does.
So, I mean, what is that?
Listen, if you went Vic Jackson Newton, I wouldn't think you've done anything wrong.
Yeah, but I feel like that's continuing to be disrespectful to Cam, and I don't know that I want to be on his hit list as we continue to move toward the regular season. So I am going to marry Michael Vick.
If it was socially acceptable, I would marry them.
I saw him up close and personal when I was at Virginia. I am going to cuddle one Cameron Newton.
Bombs and hellacious seeds.
And I am going to, again, politely discard Lamar Jackson. So I'm agreeing with Dave Rothenberg across the board on that category. Very tough one, though, Rick. Very tough.
That was a tough one. I will say this, though, too. By keeping Cam, you also get Fig, which is nice. Everyone loves the Fig Newton. Delicious cookie. All right. Now, this is undersized freak athletes. At their size, they shouldn't really be this good, but they are. I'm going to give you Chris's favorite, Jose Altuve.
Oh, yeah.
Kyler Murray. In the angry little ball of hate himself, Brad Marchand for the Boston Bruins. Feisty little nugget. Definition of feisty nugget. Mean little feisty nugget.
Chris, I believe you're up here.
Okay, this is easy for me. I am going to marry Kyler Murray.
If it was socially acceptable, I would marry them.
I am going to cuddle Brad Marchand.
Bombs and...
And I'm going to trash Jose Altuve, and I don't think we need any further explanation as to why I'm trashing Altuve.
He went from, like, the most... people loved Jose Altuve before this whole thing happened.
Us included.
Everyone loved him.
You say loved. I still really appreciate Jose Altuve. So
no, you can appreciate and love. They're two different things. I mean, you can respect someone and not like them.
No, I like
him. He was
him.
Like beloved.
I don't respect him anymore.
Well, you shouldn't. You're a Yankees fan. All right. I mean, Kyler Murray's easy there, right? I mean, he's a two-sport athlete. He's an incredible athlete. So to marry of those three, that's an easy one.
If it was socially acceptable, I would marry them.
I'll cuddle Jose Altuve.
Bombs and hellacious seeds.
Because he's your hated one, but for me, Marchand is my hated one. I can't stand him, so I will. I'll kiss him on the nose and put him into the garbage. I want any part of him.
Lick his face. Yeah, he is good, though, man. He is good.
He is good, but he's annoying.
All right, here we go. Guy's actually, I mean, he's called the freak. I'm going to give you Giannis.
Oh, yeah.
The Greek freak. Zion. LeBron.
Oh, my goodness. All right, I have to go LeBron. I understand there's a Greek freak participant in this, but it's LeBron James. He's been doing this for, what, 17 years at this level? He's unbelievable.
He's the freak. He's just a freak.
So I will marry LeBron.
If it was socially acceptable, I would marry them.
I will cuddle Giannis.
Bombs and hellacious seeds.
And I feel comfortable about this. Zion, freakish athlete, yes. At the level of those other two, no. I will trash Zion.
Wow. Very... very interesting choice, Dave. I am going to also marry LeBron James.
If it was socially acceptable, I would marry them.
But I'm going to cuddle Zion Williamson.
Bombs and hellacious seeds.
I just am, Dave. I look at the career trajectory for this kid, and he's got the ability to be really, really special. I mean, this guy is going to be an MVP at some point throughout his NBA career if he can stay healthy. And from the looks of things and how he's handled this layoff, in the shape that he's come back in, I just feel like we're going to see a different guy than we saw in the NBA regular season. So I'm going to cuddle Zion Williamson, and I'm going to trash Giannis Antetokounmpo.
Wow. I mean, just his name has freak in it.
Yeah, he's the Greek freak.
Yeah. I understand that, Dave, but I don't know, man.
Okay, that's fine.
No, I just feel like Zion is the potential could be on another level.
I like it. Listen, I like the controversy back and forth. I like it. All right, last one. Here we go. This is just a dominant category. This is like the definition, the epitome of domination. I'm going to give you Serena Williams. I'm going to give you Usain Bolt. Michael Phelps.
Wow.
Oof. Okay. This is on me. I am going to marry Serena.
If it was socially acceptable, I would marry them.
I'm not sure if we've had any athlete dominate their sport like Serena Williams has dominated women's tennis. I'm going to marry her. I'm going to cuddle Michael Phelps.
Bombs.
I mean,
and
the most decorated Olympian in the history of the Summer Games. So I'm going to marry him. Cuddle him, and I am going to, again, politely discard Usain Bolt.
Firmly garbage. Look at this garbage.
I know that the game show intensifies when Chris and I disagree, but I will not disagree solely for the sake of disagreeing. I agree across the board. I'm gonna marry Serena.
If it was socially acceptable, I would marry them.
I'm gonna cuddle Michael
Bombs
Phelps
and hellacious seeds.
And Usain Bolt will be kicked to the curb.
Firmly garbage. Look at this garbage.
Finally,
it's tough to actually find a good category to put Serena to put Serena in because she's so dominant. I mean, outside
I mean,
of I mean,
at another level. I mean, she had a baby and came back and was a great player.
She won the Australian. Dave, she won the Australian Open pregnant.
Right. I mean, she does things that we've never seen before, and she's done it. I mean, she checks all the boxes, right? She's done it forever. She never tired. She did it pregnant. She did it post-pregnancy. She's done it at small events. She's done it at majors. She's just, I mean, there's nothing she hasn't done.
I mean, Dave, I don't want to be hyperbolic, but like, has there ever been an athlete that's been as dominant as she is in her sport?
Over a long
period of time like this?
Yeah, yeah.
Gretzky,
maybe? I mean,
yeah, maybe. Maybe.
That have dominated their sport the way she's done it?
I mean, it's hard because she's solo in other sports that we look at her team sports, but yeah, certainly she's in this.
I mean, Tiger at one point was this dominant. But the fact
You know who dominated this level? Herschel Walker in the bobsled. I think that's probably be the answer there.
All right, there you go, boys. That is a Monday edition of CMT.
Rick, this is from Darren Revell. Justin, Harvard announces all course instruction will be taught online for the entirety of next year. So all the way through May, undergraduate tuition remains the same at $49,653, but no kids on campus all of next year at Harvard.
Yeah, that's the reality. I mean, that's what we're dealing with. I mean, what's going to happen? You don't know what's going to happen. I mean, you get all these kids back onto a campus. You know, first of all, if someone tests positive, where are they quarantining at? Where are they isolating at?
Yeah, college kids can't. I mean, what are they supposed to do?
That's not going
to
happen. Yeah.
And I think Ivy League is going to, I mean, at some point here, going to vote on whether to move their football season into.
Well, that was the
they're going to do that this week, yeah.
Yeah, addendum to that. The Athletic has an article right now. It says multiple Ivy League football coaches told The Athletic they expect the league is moving all fall sports, including football, to spring of 2021.
Oh. Yeah, that actually sounds like something they've been talking about here with high school too.
All fall sports until the spring?
Until the spring, yeah.
Yeah. I mean, it would make sense.
Well, at least weren't the Ivy League the first ones to cancel their conference basketball tournament?
Yes.
So I mean they were ahead of everybody else in that regard. I mean, maybe they're coming to the realization of what this fall is gonna look like sooner than all the other schools around the country. Not just from an athletic standpoint, but as far as being able to have students on campus. Because I guess you got to assume the worst is going to happen if you have college students on campus. I forgot what school it was, but they were talking about how many different fraternities members had tested positive just because they were all living together.
Well, of course.
They had over 100 fraternity members test positive for COVID-19 because of their accommodations during the summer.
Well, there's no availability to social distance. You just can't do it in college.
Exactly. So with the pandemic going on, I think the most responsible thing to do, if you recognize that you can't contain it in a campus-like atmosphere, is not to have the students on campus.
Yeah, that seems to be the way.
DiPietro, Canty, and Rothenberg. Weekdays at 10 on 98.7 ESPN.